Hello, this is J.P. Kirsch, and I'm your moderator. I'm here with State Senator Carolyn Komitta, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Komitta, press *3 at any time on your phone's keypad. Now let's welcome Senator Carolyn Komitta.
Thank you, J.P., and hello, and thank you to all of the area residents participating in tonight's call. I'm Senator Carolyn Komitta, and I'm holding this live telephone town hall where we'll be discussing the COVID-19 response and vaccine with my special guests. Tonight, we're welcoming Marian Moskowitz, Chair of the Chester County Commissioners, Jean Franklin, Chester County Public Health Director, and we have with us Chuck Cray of the Pennsylvania Pharmacy Association. Later in the call, we'll be getting an update from my Senate colleague, Senator Art Haywood, who serves on the COVID-19 Vaccine Joint Legislative Task Force. Now, I know there are a lot of questions and concerns about the vaccine deployment, and we're all working together to resolve them efficiently, effectively, and quickly. And we appreciate the opportunity to hear directly from you. Your questions help us improve the systems in place. This format of the call will allow you to listen in, offer your opinion, and ask a question. If you'd like to ask a question at any time, please press *3 on your phone. So now let me introduce my guests who will each say a word or two before we begin taking your questions. It is my pleasure to introduce Marian Moskowitz, Chair of the Chester County Commissioners.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you for holding this event. It's very important to our community that they hear from us, and I appreciate this opportunity. I just want to let everyone know that we're working very hard to get as much vaccine into Chester County as possible. We have reached a compromise with the Department of Health to get a PEMA site on our border, and that will help distribute more vaccine. But we are working hard every day to make sure that everyone who wants a vaccine can get it. Thank you.
Thank you, Marian. Thank you for all your hard work, and we're looking forward to learning more as we talk with you tonight. And now I'd like to introduce Jean Franklin, who is the director of the Chester County Department of Health. Jean.
Thank you, Senator, and thank you, everyone, for joining me and the other esteemed guests here tonight. I'll just add on to Commissioner Moskowitz's comments. Beyond working directly with the state, we are continuing with our rollout of sites in Chester County. Very quickly, we have a site at Westchester University. We have a site at Kennett Square Fire Company's Red Clay Banquet Hall. And we have a site at the Kimberton Fire Company in the Phoenixville area. We also have 3 senior center sites that operate 1 to 2 days a week, and those are specifically for individuals 65 and older. And we also have some specialty sites, whether it's us going to homebound individuals or individuals who are lacking transportation or mobility issues, et cetera. So I'm sure there'll be lots of questions. I just wanted to kind of do a quick summary of what we actively have open, and we have plans to open others as inventory increases.
Thank you so much, Jean. And finally with us is Chuck Cray of the Pennsylvania Pharmacy Association. Chuck.
Good evening, Senator. Thank you for having us. We are pleased to be here on behalf of the Pennsylvania Pharmacies. We have been working hard for the last 10 to 12 weeks getting vaccine in arms, and so we're certainly here to lend any information that you your audience may need in regards to how things are going on the ground at the vaccination efforts. We've been blessed to have a number of stores in this, and we're over 15,000 vaccines in our stores so far.
That's wonderful. Very good. Well, thanks for being with us tonight, Chuck. So now I'd like to turn it over to JP JP, could you please let us hear the first question?
Sure. Thank you, Senator. Let me remind the listeners while we're getting to the questions that if you have a question for Senator Kmita or any of her guests tonight, press star 3 on your telephone's keypad, and you'll be able to ask your question live with Senator Kmita and her guests. The first question we're going to go to is one that was emailed earlier in the day from people who were contacted, and Christina of Westchester wants to know, are volunteers needed to help schedule appointments, and if so, who do people contact to volunteer?
So, Jean, would you like to answer that question?
I'd be happy to. We would definitely like volunteers to help. We always want to keep our volunteers fresh, so we rotate them out as they need time. So the best place or the best mechanism to send information, I would advocate you send us your name, a way to contact you, and days of the week that you could volunteer to the email address CCHD, so Charlie Health Department at chesco.org.
That's great. Thank you.
All right, we're going to go for a live question to Charlie in Phoenixville. Charlie, do you have a question for our guests? Charlie, are you there? Oh, looks like we lost Charlie. So let's go back to one of our email questions. Hannah of Malvern says, what options are there for older Americans who struggle to access online resources and vaccine appointment forms due to lack of technical literacy?
Marion or Jean, I mean, you are the two experts for Chester County vaccines, and I'm going to ask whoever, you know, wants to answer that one for older Americans who have a difficulty accessing online resources for the vaccine.
Yeah, Jean, you're...
Sure. I'd be happy to take that one. So there's a couple different ways. A lot of people are calling us and giving us their information over the phone, and we are making calls out. So I would advocate you share your name and phone number that we could get a hold of you on or at again, the same email address. CCHD at chesco.org, and we can certainly reach out to folks. We have plenty of people. We have a whole list of individuals who don't have email or use email or the computer, so we'll put you on that list and make our way through it.
All right.
Thank you,
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Let's move next to Dan from Tardif. Dan, you're on live with Senator Kmita and guests.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right. Yeah, I was on the wait list for the county site for the vaccine, but I was able to get my first dose this afternoon at the VA hospital. So I was just wondering, how do I take my name off the list to, I guess, make space for somebody else on the county wait list?
Jean, I think this is you.
Yeah, no worries. Well, first of all, congratulations for getting vaccinated. Secondly, if you just give me your name now, I can make sure my team gets it and we can take you off and spare, you know, you a call and we'll get someone else in that time slot.
Sure. You just want me to give it to you now or?
Sure.
Or we could, you could leave a voicemail message after the phone call tonight or contact the senator's office. I don't know if you want to hand out your name and phone number on
that's true.
I'm not bashful. I'll give my name and phone number. It's Dan McLaughlin.
Great. Thank you, Dan.
And you need my phone number?
No.
No, we had it from the call. Thank you.
Okay, then. No. Thanks. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Let's go next to Lisa from Exton. Lisa, you're live with Senator Kmita and guests.
Good evening, all. Thank you for doing this. I really appreciate it. My question is, I have an 89-year-old mom who's living with me, and she is bedbound, and she has home health aides that have to come in and take care of her because I work full time. So what can I do, or what can be done, or what do I need to do to get her the vaccine ASAP?
Jean and maybe Chuck, but Jean, I think it would be great for you to start.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Senator. I'm going to sound like a broken record.
That's
so
okay.
If you could share your mother's information with us at cchd@chesco.org. We are currently collecting a list of homebound individuals, and then as we have a group in a geographical area, we actually deploy a team that can work with you to schedule a date and time.
Do you have any idea how long that might be?
No, I don't. But right now the list is active, and we're deploying teams this week.
Okay, that's hopeful.
So I'm not sure if the week is filled already.
All right, thank you, Lisa. Next question, we're going to go out to East Coventry. Michael, you're live on the line, Senator, committed, and guest.
Yes, thank you for having this. I went online 2, 3, 4 weeks ago to register. I have heard nothing. Curious, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to sit and wait till I get notified to be scheduled? I mean, didn't even get an email back saying I was registered. What's the process to get a shot, I guess?
That's a very good question. And Jean, can you answer that question? I'm sure many people have that same question.
Sure, it is a good question. Assuming you registered with the Chester County Health Department on their site, because I know each of our different providers, whether it's a pharmacy or a hospital, has their own registration. So if you registered with the Chester County Health Department, we are working through the list in order of registration and who qualifies for the current phase that we're in. So we're in phase 1A. So as we get new data, much like yours, it's added to the list, and we just are working through it in date order. So what happens is one of two things. One, you'll either get a phone call from us, or two, you will get a message from the scheduling system that says, that indicates to go online, assuming you have online access, and basically just set up your account, which is just give it a password, nothing fancy, and then it'll notify you when there's an appointment that opens up for you to then go and say you would like that appointment.
Jean, thank you for that. And Chuck, from the Pennsylvania Pharmacy Association, I'm going to ask, could you tell us from the pharmacy wait list viewpoint, how that looks for people who have signed up through a pharmacy, and how do you coordinate with the county?
At this point in time, Senator, where there is not a lot of coordination with the counties, I know I'm in Dauphin County, and I've talked both with Lebanon County and Dauphin County's emergency management. We've tried to pick off some of their people that, you know, are homebound and other things like that, high rises, all those kind of things. But the lists are kind of very difficult to work through. I'll give you an example. We did a clinic at the Hershey Convention Center about a week ago on Sunday, and we did about 1,200. We have 10,000 on our list, and we had to go through about 3,000 to get to 1,200. When the program first was rolled out with little warning, phone lines blew up, emails blew up, and every pharmacy in the state ended up in the same boat as us with long, long lists. The problem is people are on 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 lists. So nobody really has a good list to know who is not vaccinated. So it's kind of a little bit of hit or miss. I'm hoping we don't make the same mistake statewide as we roll into the 1B and 1C group. A statewide system would be wonderful. Countywide works just about as well if you're able to do that and coordinate with the pharmacies. But I know in our area at this end, there is no coordination between the county and the pharmacies other than you know, they'll call us and let us know they've got something we can help them with.
Chuck, thank you for that. Jean and Marion, we have all been on updates with Pennsylvania Secretary Allison Beam about the lists and the coordination of the lists and so on. And I think that when Senator Haywood is able to join us shortly, perhaps we can ask him about the efforts for a coordinated wait list. But Jean or Marion, do you want to add anything to that that you know?
I would just say that we're having the same issue with a lot of duplicates, triplicates, and those that have already received the shot. We are installing a new software program. Hopefully it will be up and running early next week, where we'll be able to kind of cull that information and sort it so we have a clean list, and people will be able to opt out. But it is an issue, and that's just our health department. There's also pharmacies and the hospitals that are distributing as well. Jean, do you want to add something?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so I'd maybe like to connect with Chuck after this call. We had started the process, at least with one of our hospitals, to try to combine lists. It was challenging when the individuals were a part of the hospital's patient system, but now that hospitals are doing non-patient-based vaccine, there's a possible or a greater opportunity to at least combine lists, deduplicate them, and then work collectively on those. I'd like to maybe understand the pharmacist side of it as well, and we could possibly support that as a resource from the county.
Thank you, Jean. To the caller's question about being signed up on a list and not receiving a confirmation email, Jean, when someone signs up on the county's website, they get a confirmation email, correct?
They do not when they're signing up just to indicate they're registered. They get a screen that says it's successfully submitted. So that the first step does not give a confirmation email.
Okay. So it looks like I have a sheet here on some of them. The Chester County Health Department's new system that you and Marion were just talking about, the new scheduling system. What my information says is that it will provide password-protected individual accounts. It will make booking a vaccine appointment easier, and it will allow anyone who has already received the COVID-19 vaccine to remove their name from the health department's waiting list. So, Marion, this is the system you were talking about rolling out. And when is that coming? Do you know?
Yes, we're going through the testing part right now, so it should be up and running hopefully by Monday or so.
That's great. Mm-hmm. And so for this caller and for anyone else who wants to make sure that they are signed up on the county's health department new vaccine scheduling system, how will they do that?
That's a good question. So what will go out is an introductory email to everybody who is registered and has not indicated that they no longer need the vaccine. In that will be the instructions for going into that system to set up their password, check their information, and ultimately then that kind of sets them up in the system to receive the notification when new appointments are added to the calendar. So everybody who has already registered, their information is being imported into the system so they maintain, you know, their order in the list.
Right. That's great. And they will receive an email from you with the County Health Department saying, hey, great news, we have a new scheduling system, you're in
Correct.
It, now you can create a password, et cetera, et cetera. How about for a person, let's say the caller may be on a, you know, the Chester County Hospital list or perhaps a pharmacy wait list. How could someone who's not already registered with the county for a vaccine get signed up on this new system?
So what will happen is right now when you go to the county and it has the button that says, you know, Chester County pre-registration, instead of going to the old system, it'll point new people to the new system.
Okay.
So it will accept new, yeah, it'll accept new folks and will import those who were already on the list.
Right. So all of your regular public outreach to people and press releases, and we will all be sharing this information from our Senate office, and I'll make sure all of my colleagues know about it. We've been good partners sharing information, which is so important. But I will say that that website is very easy to navigate. So you go to chesco.org, or Chester County, Pennsylvania, and you select the Department of Health, and it takes you to what Jean was just describing, you know, it'll this big box that says COVID-19 at the top. It's still like that, right, Jean? I haven't looked at it.
Correct.
You know,
correct.
Yeah. And then it takes you to all the, you know, I want to register for the vaccine. I want information about this and that. So the new system will be on there. So you just Google Chester County, go to Department of Health, and but it's very user-friendly. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Right. That was a great question. Thank you so much for that question, which is on many, many people's minds. So we got a lot of good information there. Okay, JP.
All right, we're going to go to one of our listeners' emailed in questions. Abby wants to know, are all Phase 1A people in the same queue, or is Chester County prioritizing over 65 people first?
All right.
They're all in the same queue. Now, we have to kind of understand the history of this phase. So the phase started out initially as healthcare providers and emergency medical, so EMS providers. And after several weeks of doing those two groups, we, you know, through the states and the federal level order, the 65 and older, as well as the 16 to 64 who have medical conditions was added. So it just so happens we have more 65 and older and more 16 to 64 than we did healthcare and EMS. So the number is larger, and they were, you know, all kind of registered around the same time. So that's why we are still kind of plowing through that list because of the sheer numbers of individuals. And much like you heard from Chuck, it takes, you know, many thousands of calls to get people to answer or people who have not actually received theirs already. So we just happen to be in that section of the list that majority of the people were 65 and older. So we're not prioritizing. It's just how that list ended up growing because it wasn't open to everybody at first. And then it was with the big announcement. That makes sense.
All right. Let me take this minute to remind our listeners that if you have a question for Senator Kometa or any of our guests, press *3 on your telephone's keypad. Next, we'll go down to Oxford. Joanne has a question. Joanne, you're on live with Senator Kometa.
Hi, Senator Kometa. I want to thank you for doing what you're doing. I think it's really great that you're doing this. I actually have two questions, and if that's one too many, that's fine, too. Is that okay?
We'll see.
Of course.
Okay. So,
Jane,
you mentioned three senior sites. Are you talking about senior centers?
That is correct, senior
centers.
Okay,
so do you need any volunteer RNs to give shots?
I would have to check. I am not. I believe we have the staffing for there, but certainly email cchd@chesco.org.
Okay, great. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. My second question is, how the three different vaccines, how are they being divided? Like, who's getting the Pfizer, who's getting the Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and the AstraZeneca? Like, who? Like, how do you know? I mean, I would just love to get the Johnson & Johnson shot, but, I mean, how do you know who gets what? I mean, how's that? How does that go? How, when you get them, how do they divide them?
That's an excellent question.
Thank you.
And a complicated. And a complicated question.
Because I'm a nurse, don't forget.
Right. So all of the vaccine comes from the federal government to the state health department that the county gets. And that's true of hospitals and other providers. It's not true for all pharmacies. Some pharmacies are getting their vaccine through the federal program, not the state program. So all of it that comes through the state decides. So there's a whole process in place where providers apply, and you have to vet, essentially attest that you have the ability to handle the Pfizer, which takes a different level of storage, as you know, and then the Moderna. So right now, the so the health department, hospitals, and federally qualified health centers are getting either Moderna or Pfizer. The state is using the Johnson & Johnson that it recently started receiving for some of their special initiatives, and you may have heard about them with the vaccinating the education community. They will then also use that for some of their mass vaccination sites as well, to include moving into that 1B phase with some mass vaccine sites using the J&J. Or Johnson & Johnson, sorry.
All right. Thank you for that answer. And it looks like now we have with us joining the call is our esteemed member of the COVID-19 Vaccine Joint Legislative Task Force, Senator Art Haywood. Welcome, Senator Haywood.
Thank you, and thank you so much for Senator Kamina for inviting me on this important call.
Good evening, Senator Haywood. Thank you for being with us.
Glad to be here.
Senator Haywood, give us an update on what the task force has been up to.
So the task force has been involved with a number of significant decisions with respect to the rollout of the vaccine. First major decision was to require providers to administer 80% of the doses they received in 7 days. That was to speed up the administration of the vaccine. Pennsylvania, about 6 weeks ago, was 46th in the nation. We're near the bottom of all states in terms of getting the vaccine we had into the arms. Now, we're either about 21 or 28. So this effort has really sped up getting vaccine into the arms. Most recently, we also had a special initiative that was just described to get vaccine to educators, K to 12, as well as in preschool. And we have a new initiative coming up to get vaccine to the grocery store workers, food service workers, as well as first responders. And then we are doing some mass sites around the Commonwealth, including in southeastern Pennsylvania, where we'll have two sites were approved, and that will produce about 42,000 doses a week, hopefully beginning in April. The increased supply has really dramatically changed the whole framework for providing the vaccine to individuals, and it's going a lot better than I thought when I was looking at the situation in January.
All right. Thank you, Senator.
We've come a long way, Art, and I want to thank you and our colleagues who are serving on that Joint Legislative Task Force for vaccine, because things have really improved And we so appreciate your efforts for all of the people of Pennsylvania and certainly here in Chester County. Is there anything else you would like us to know?
Well, we still have a long way to go. I would say that we have some significant challenges going forward. So although I'm pleased about the progress that we've made, we still have a long way to go. Our equity with respect to race and ethnicity, we still got a long way to go there. Making sure we get everybody in congregate care settings, we got a long way to go there. So we got some significant challenges. I don't want to pretend that we don't. But President Biden has delivered, and we have so much more vaccine than anyone anticipated. And if all goes well, we may be able to get first doses into the arms of most Pennsylvanians who want it by June. In fact, maybe we can even reach herd immunity this summer. So I'm optimistic.
Good. Well, so am I, Senator Haywood. And again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us tonight.
Sure.
Senator, we have a question that was emailed in to us earlier that you might be able to shed some light on. Monica of Westchester writes, I'm concerned that we will face another surge in cases, perhaps even worse due to the variants that are spreading, due to lifting restrictions while the most vulnerable are still waiting to be vaccinated.
That is a concern.
Yeah, that's a legitimate risk. Now, when you say senator, you got to be careful because we got two senators on the phone. So,
yes, but only one that is on the vaccine joint legislative task force. So, Senator Haywood, please tell us what you think about that.
Sure. So I think it is a significant risk. The variants are spreading. Unfortunately, the reports I've seen show that the positivity rates around the state in some areas are going up, as well as the case counts that were going down, the infections that were going down, really not going down as they were about a month ago. So I share the concern that people having a good time outside and not wearing masks is a real challenge. So I share the concern, and I encourage people to wear masks, wash your hands, and social distance, because we're not through with this yet. I'll say one more thing. I know this is going to be uncomfortable for people, but if we had worn our masks consistently for the past year, the actual rate of infection would have been down dramatically. The rate of death would have been down dramatically. Every assessment I have seen has said consistently that we can reduce the spread and reduce death and reduce hospitalization by wearing masks. So it's the time to do that is still today.
Thank you, Art. That is very, very wise advice. It's so simple. Mask up, and it really works.
All right, if you're ready, Senator Camille, we'll go back to the phone lines. We're going to go to Patricia of Westchester. Patricia, you're on live with Senators Camita and Haywood and guests.
Yeah, I have some questions about what they're doing in outreach to the intellectual disabled people within the community. You're doing a lot for the older people, but what about those with disabilities?
Hi, Pat. Thanks so much for that question. I'm going to ask Jean if you could talk specifically about what we're doing here in Chester County.
I'd love to. What we have done so far is we've partnered with the Chester County Department of Mental Health and Intellectual Disabilities Department. They have assisted our outreach to identify who would be better served by a different type of clinic, whether it's a different location, a different setup, or would be best served to receive it, receive the vaccine within their home. So depending on kind of which is the preferred is how we approach them. So while we are starting with homebound, we do have a number of locations on our list that are for the intellectual and mental health, with the intellectual disability and mental health focus on it. So we're not limited to just homebound due to age. It may be that they prefer to receive it in the home for comfort and or ease of fear, et cetera. In addition, if we have through our department partnership, if there are individuals who perhaps seek or have receive services through a provider or a community-based organization, then we can partner with them as well and kind of do it at a group level as well. So we can come at that a couple different ways, but we have an active list of individuals that we are seeking to schedule.
Thank you, Jean. JP.
All right, let's go down to Oxford for Janelle. Janelle, you're on live with Senator Committee and guests.
Hi, yes, this is Janelle. My question is, I had signed up my father, my mother, and my brother at the same time, and only my father has been vaccinated. And they're all in the same household. Is that uncommon, or is that something I should be worried about? I would think that maybe all of them would have been at least have had a call by now to get their first vaccine, but only my father has. And now I'm worried that there's some confusion because my brother is a junior, and they're all signed up under the same email address. I'm wondering if maybe there could have been some confusion there.
Jean, maybe you can answer that question and also let our caller and other people know if you are concerned, you know, are you actually signed up? Just remind people again, you know, how do you verify that?
Sure. So for your specific scenario, I would need to understand, you know, kind of the background of the other household members and would be happy to talk you through that. I don't want to necessarily have that conversation on a public call like this. So if you are able to email the health department, that'll go to our team who kind of oversees the pre-registration. There may be a factor in there, you know, if they're not over 65, that may be one consideration, but be happy to look at that specifically to your scenario.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. When you email, just remind us that this is, you know, you were on this call and wanted to understand your other household members and an opportunity to call you back. For the more general question, how do others confirm? Right now, confirmation is done just for those individuals who call or send an email. It's kind of a labor-intensive effort now because and however, in the new system, it will be something you can do on your own. Look up when you registered and what information you put in. And that's one of the reasons for the new system, to kind of give people a little bit more open access to that information.
That's great. Thank you, Jean.
All right, let's go to Cokesville. Marianne, you're on live online with Senator Committee and guests.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. I have a two-part question. I'm not in the first group. I wondered how soon, I'm 58, relatively no health issues, and when I would be able to, when the next group is coming to be vaccinated, and if I can sign up now, like register, and then I would just be waiting until the next group, or do I have to wait to register?
Jean, I think that's one for you.
Sure. You do not have to wait. Nobody has to wait to register. So even before the new system is in place, again, going out to the website, so it's chesco.org And if you go to the health department section,
mm-hmm.
there'll be, you know, there'll be a big blue button, like Senator Kamita explained. Once you click that, go to the vaccine information. And then there's a register button there. Just make sure you pick the Chester County one. And perhaps Senator Haywood would do better to answer the how soon are we going to get to 1B, because I think some of that factors into the state's plan and how they're intending to, or what timing it is to move forward to that group.
Thank you,
Senator,
so much.
Haywood?
I'm very glad. Yes, thank you so much. Very glad to respond. For all adults, no matter age or health condition, we anticipate that by the 1st of May, appointments will begin to be made. 1st of May for all adults who don't have any kind of particular health condition or are not in any special class of individuals based upon where you work. So that might be the best answer for this caller. I will say that even though we may begin to make appointments in the beginning of May, there are a few million people we got to get vaccinated. So I would think that this period will probably be May and June. What I would say is that there's a good chance the caller will be vaccinated before we get to the end of June, and that would be the most reasonable estimate for getting the vaccine. It could be earlier than that, but probably not much later than the end of June.
Thanks, Senator Haywood.
All right. All right, thank you. All right, let's go to Phoenixville. Donna, you're live on the line with Senator Kamita and guests.
Hi, thank you for taking these calls this evening. The question I have gets back to a question that was asked very early on. The question was posed, how do technologically illiterate people sign up for the vaccine, seniors that don't use email and the likes? It was mentioned that they could make a call. There was a lot of discussion. At the end of the discussion, we were referred back to the email at cchd@chesco.org. How do they make, who, where are they supposed to call, or who do they call? I mean, they can't send an email if they're not using email. So I'm not sure that it was ever stated where to call.
That's a great question. Jean.
Yeah,
please.
Thank you for catching that omission. So that was not intentional by all means. So you can call the regular health department number. It is 610-344-6225.
Perfect, thank you.
There'll be some options to pick. Just navigate through them and then indicate that you are assisting or you are the individual who needs that call out.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
All right, let's go to Downingtown. Paul, you're on live with Senator Kamita and guests.
I'm 63 years old, and I'm a transplant recipient and in blind. And I got a letter from my doctor wanting me to get vaccinated as soon as possible. What's the best bet for me to get vaccinated as soon as possible? And I've been on the Chester County list for 5 weeks.
Maybe Jean and Chuck, you could give your thoughts on that, please.
This is Chuck.
Chuck, did you want to go first? Yeah.
Sure, I can. I think just this is kind of the sheer frustration of so many people calling around. And unfortunately, with the reduction in number of pharmacies in the last week or so, it's gotten a little bit tougher for people such as yourself. The only thing I can say is, you know, keep calling, see where mass clinics are, end of day, extra doses, all those kind of things. You know, we haven't wasted a dose in all the ones we've done. We make sure we find somebody at the end of the day. So even some of the local pharmacies that may have it, you know, check with them at 8 o'clock at night before closing. You know, they may have an extra dose that they're not going to waste. They're looking for somebody to get it in their arm. So that would be my best tip for, you know, trying to get it in the short term. If you're in Dauphin County, I tell you, come see me. We'll get you taken care of.
I don't know if any local pharmacies that are giving it. I'm in the Downingtown area.
Most of the chains are part of the federal program, and they've got some vaccine on a weekly basis from the federal program.
All right, let's move on to Karen from Phoenixville. Karen, you're on live with Senator Committee and guests.
Hi, thank you, Senator, and all of your guests for participating on this. This is very informative. My question is that classified by the state as the 1A because I'm in a multi-generational and I take care of my parents who are in their 90s. So I'm a 1A because of that, but I also have a problem because I have an sensitivity to polyethylene glycol. So I can't take the Pfizer or the Moderna. So how are you handling people who may have a sensitivity to an ingredient of one of the vaccines, and how are they tracked and then placed in the system for being able to get the vaccines?
Thank you, Karen. Jean, could you talk about that?
Yes, this is a challenging one because right now the health department does not have access to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which is the one you will, you know, need. I would have to, and I was just trying to do this as we were, as you were speaking, looking up to see who does have the Johnson & Johnson in Chester County. That is most likely a pharmacist. Chuck, I'm not sure if you know of any pharmacies in Chester County that are receiving Johnson & Johnson. Otherwise, it may have to sign up with one of the mass sites that the state is planning to set up using Johnson & Johnson.
I believe that's accurate. We've been dealing mostly with Pfizer and Moderna in our area, but I did get my first notice. I'm also part of the my long-term care side, a buying group that is part of the federal program. We're getting our first 100 doses of the J&J this week. So it's all going to start flowing more freely, I believe, within the next few weeks here.
And that's Chuck from the Pennsylvania Pharmacy Association. Thank you. I also wanted to just add from Paul's previous question, he was asking about pharmacies that have the vaccine in Chester County. The information that we have here says, Rite Aid, Walgreens, and CVS, not all of them, but, you know, but some of them in the area. And you can call our office, anyone can call our office, and we will be happy to get your detailed information about that. So thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, let's go down Cochranville. Carolyn, you're on live with Senator Committee and guests.
Thank you for taking my call. As someone that has had COVID, I was wondering if the question had been asked, and I've not heard it thus far, that if you've had COVID, how long should the wait be before you get your vaccination?
Carolyn, that is a very good question. And Jean, do you have that answer?
Yes, it is recommended to wait 60 to 90 days after your symptoms have resolved.
Okay.
All right,
you're
welcome. Sounds good. All right. Lily from Melbourne, you're live on the call with Senator Committee and guests.
Lily,
you're there?
I gave my answer. I had the vax. I was registered with the Chester County Health but I receive a call from CVIM, and I have gotten my first shot, and I'm informed that we need to go back to the same place that we got our first shot, so I'd like to be taken off the list for Chester County. I'm registered there, Lily Brown.
Thank you, Lily. Mm-hmm. And we can follow up and make sure that your name is taken off the county list. Congratulations. Wonderful.
All right, let's go to Rowansville and hear from George. George, you have a question for Senator Kamita and guests.
Yes, I do. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes. Hi,
okay.
George.
Hi. I've been listening, except for when I was talking to your assistant. The problem I have, and I can't believe I'm the only one in the whole county, but I am, I guess you'd call me elderly. I'm 60, almost 67, and I do have an implant, and I have numerous health problems, and I'm supposed to get a procedure at the end of this month. When I was in the hospital a while back, I lost my internet connection. It was hacked with ransomware, and the guys that tried to clean it lost it. Needless to say, I couldn't afford it. So I don't have that. I don't have a smartphone. I have a hard line. I live alone. I have nobody here but me and the dog. And almost 90% of what I've heard tonight is, we'll go on this website. We'll check this website. Check that website. For 3 months, I've been asking 6 different doctors, 3 different pharmacists, when can I call or can I come in? And I can't stand in line because of my health conditions. But it blows me away that they expect you to get somebody to go online and, you know, at 5 o'clock in the morning or whenever they do it, and to sign you up for something, and then you have to be there. I have procedures or tests about 3 days a week, almost every other day, and I don't even have good transportation. I'm too dizzy to drive. I know I'm unique in a lot of different regards, but it sounds like they're ready to blow by me to open it up for people age 50, and then, sorry, you got lost in the cracks. Every one of these doctors said, well, we're not getting involved. Well, that's, you know, and even the CVS pharmacy says, well, you have to go online. That's the only way we do it. And to me, it's like a slap in the face. But anyway, I need a number, and I'm getting the procedure at the end of this month, and I wish I could have got something before then, but I've been stonewalled for 3 months. And so I need to know, you know, how I could possibly do this. I know I can't before this procedure, and it's like playing Russian roulette in the hospital. But every one of these doctors, I don't have a cell phone, so sometimes I have to sit in there for an hour and a half with other people that have COVID, take their mask off and blow their nose. It's the viral load. If I wasn't skinny as a rail, I probably would have had it, but I can't believe that Chester
George
County – anyway,
we're running short on time. Let me give the guests a chance to answer your question about whether there's a number that you can call. Is there a number George can call if he can't get online?
Yes. And Jean gave us the number from the Chester County Health Department. Is the number you should call, George? The number is 610-344-6225, and you will talk with a live person, and we can also follow up and help make sure that you have the information you need from my district office. My staff can call, and we'll make sure that you are on the list to get your vaccine, and I wish you all the best.
All right, it looks like we
Take
have
good
time
care
for,
of yourself.
I think we have time for one more question. We're going to go to Chesterbrook and hear from Liz. Liz, do you have a question?
Yes, thank you for doing this, Senator.
So I registered on the Chester County website, couldn't even tell you how long ago, and I get all the update emails that say we got this many doses and we got that many doses. But what I was confused about on the website, and so I don't know where I stand, I'm not 1A because I'm not 65 yet, I'm only 61, but I'm asthmatic. I'm a recent cancer survivor, but I figure, okay, I'm 1B. That's kind of what I put in on the website, but there was no way to say why I'm 1B. So between, you know, being a recent cancer survivor and asthmatic, I also work for Catalent Pharma Solutions, which is actually manufacturing the Moderna and Johnson & Johnson vaccines, as well as packaging them in the Philadelphia site where I work. And my son works at Wawa. So both of us are, you know, he's obviously at high risk. Actually, we both have already had COVID. But I'm just curious as to why the site doesn't give us an opportunity to say, this is why I think I'm 1B. Because I'm just like completely up in the air. I'm registered and have absolutely no idea what that means.
Jean, could you shed some light there for Liz?
Certainly. Assuming you are registering at the Chester County Health Department, by filling that out, you are indicating what group you're in. What we did is we didn't try to have people kind of figure out the system itself of A, B, C, and phase two. We just asked what profession, what age, are you living in congregate care, do you receive home health services, et cetera, and that automatically put you into categories. So, for example, if your son indicated that he is in the food service through Wawa, then he's going to be grouped in the food service group, which is in 1B. So he didn't have to understand 1B. I'm sorry?
Is there a priority within 1B? Like like food service is higher than 61-year-old who's, you know, like I'm asthmatic, but I'm otherwise very healthy? And like, I just wonder if there's any kind of priority within a group.
So within 1B... Yeah, go ahead, Senator.
Hi, Senator Art Haywood. I can address that question. Special initiative has come from the Department of Health for a few pieces, few sets of 1B. First, grocery store workers. Second, food service workers. And third, first responders. So that is a set of 1B that will be addressed in early April.
Thank you very much, Senator Haywood. And that is about all the time we have for questions tonight. Senator Kamita, do you have any final remarks for our audience?
Yes, I do. And JP, thank you so much for your help. And I also want to thank my friend and colleague, Senator Haywood, for being with me and with us tonight. And I especially want to thank our neighbors who called in and participated in the telephone town hall. We so appreciate each of you who listened and each of you who asked questions. It's been a very productive discussion, and we're going to follow up with you via email to offer an updated listing of vaccine providers in Chester County. Also, I want to remind everyone that while developments on the vaccine are promising, as Senator Haywood reminded us, we are not out of the woods yet. Other states are seeing a rise in COVID-19 variants, so please keep wearing a mask, wash your hands, work to stop and spread this virus. Thank you again to my special guests, Marian Moskowitz, Jean Franklin, Chuck Cray, and Senator Art Haywood. And remember, if you didn't have a chance to ask your question tonight, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we will get back to you. So thanks so much again for your participation. If you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office at 610-692-2112 or visit my website at pasenatorcommitta.com. Have a good night, everyone, and thank you.
Thank you for participating in Senator Carolyn Committa's telephone town hall. You've been a great audience. Thank you for sharing your evening with us.